Hallelujah. I'm so happy to be here because I'm so glad about this name of this church called Antioch International Church. Is that right? Antioch. So I'm busy. I preach every day, but it's better than China. In China, I'm preaching from 5 o'clock in the morning to the evening and pray for everyone. So I never have time to prepare my message. I'm the message. Hallelujah. People see me. I'm the living message. Our life tell the message. Hallelujah. But usually I go to the place and God will give me the message for a particular place, even to the nation, even to the particular people group. But yesterday I prayed this morning's meeting, God gave me a message from Books Acts. Hallelujah. And from this name of Antioch, we're going to look at Antioch Church. But I know you must be very familiar with this passage and you probably preach and teaching on this, but I want to bring my input into this church. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at the background where the Antioch Church is coming from. So we have a clear understanding. So I believe what God's is doing, not just in here, but I will use the example of church, the house church in China, and let you know what's really in Acts, because our God is God of action. Hallelujah. I don't like to just have a feel the presence of God. When God show up, He always doing something. He's waiting, allow the permission to do His work in His church. I say His hand is not bound. He not just speak the word. He not just show up His presence, but He also do the mighty acts. Hallelujah. We are living in the acts. We are living, I've experienced it in China, actually everywhere I go. And God is a God of action. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit is God in action. He bring the reality to the people's life. Hallelujah. And He wants us to experience the reality. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of religious. Hallelujah. I want the real things. Hallelujah. But today the young people, today the teenagers, they want the real things. They experience the reality of presence of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just be captured His presence. Be changed by His divine power. Hallelujah. Not by mind, not by power, by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's the secret of the growing of a church. A secret in the Acts. Acts is God in power. Acts is God in moving. Hallelujah. He moved in His church. So we're going to see, especially in China, we like to meet in house churches. We meet in the house. I'm not used to this kind of gathering. I'm not used to pray in the sanctuary. I used to preach from house to house. Preach from village to village. That's my calling. Hallelujah. We have house churches, but we have biggest church around the world. Hallelujah. Because God is doing different things to bring us back to Acts. Have a same kind of Pentecostal and moving in same kind of movement. Hallelujah. So we look in the Chinese church, and one thing we find out is the blood and the tears is that secret weapon we have. In China, because so many brothers and sisters have been the martyr for Jesus, they sacrificed their own life. Their brothers tell the story, and today we see the sea begin to multiply because someone paid his life for the gospel's sake. And also, there's a cry out from Chinese people for repentance, for God's mercy to come. There's a lot of tears before God, day and night. Hallelujah. Every day, 5 o'clock in the morning, there's a millions of Christians under their knees, cry out God for mercy for this nation. And God hear the cry. God sent His Holy Spirit to come to help. Hallelujah. Sometimes in China, when I preach, sometimes I don't have to preach a long sermon. Just one sentence, God have mercy on us. And people just fall under their knees, even penetrate before God, and just cry out for mercy. Hallelujah. It's not how much you preach. It's your heart has been touched by the Almighty. Hallelujah. So we'll find out that's the secret. When the martyrs for Christ pay the price and begin to see one see, died to himself and begin bring many, many fruit to the kingdom of God. I walk in the mantle and some people give me prophetic word because all the mantle is a combination. All the brother, all men of God before me which pay the price. And now walking in their mantle to bring the final harvest to come. I'm not special. They pay the price. I just bring the harvest for the end time. Hallelujah. They walk their path. I have to follow them. Walk on the same path. Hallelujah. So we look in this Antioch Church, which is a mission church, is a sending church, but we always want to come to look at the history and where they come from. So first I want to turn to Acts chapter 8, maybe chapter, in the end of Acts chapter 7, there's a man called Stephen. What happened to Stephen? He became the martyr for Jesus. He became the seed that God wanted to sow to bring forth this mighty church. So at that time, the church in Jerusalem, they were blessed by God. They would see God's blessing upon them. They fellowship every day together. But suddenly, God moving by persecution. God allowed the persecution to come. Allowed people oppress them. About those people try to kill them. And one of the example is one of our elder in the church. His name is Stephen. And Stephen and convinced the sinful nature, the rebellions of those Jewish people in their heart, and they stoned him to death. And Stephen became the first martyr for Jesus. But right before he died, he saw that Jesus appear to him in glory. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost and see Jesus. Hallelujah. But at that time, God made a perfect plan. Just before that crucifixion, there's another man, and his name is Saul. At that time, he's a persecutor for the Christian believer. He tried to hang out, tried to persecute those Christian and brother and sister. And this man watched a man die for Christ. Watch a man don't care about his life, just want to die for the sake of gospel. Hallelujah. Anyway, I believe that instance put a seed into Saul's heart and shake him from bottom his heart. Hallelujah. And find out what's this man have I don't have. What kind of boldness he have can willing to die for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. I know there's a martyr spirit in China, believers. Hard to describe here. Because in China, when you become a new believer, the first honor things you can have is die for Christ. Everyone does it, no matter how your age is. Even you are the old lady or you are just a little kid. Everyone know, if I receive this Jesus, I'm willing to die for Christ's sake. That's my honor. Many ways to die. You can die in the bedside, you can die in the car accidents. But most honorable way is die for Christ. And everybody have this same kind of spirit that moving right now in the house church. And that's the seed of the church. And at that time, because Stephen became the first martyr for Jesus, and God planted the seed into the soul's heart, he watched a man be stoned to death for the name of gospel. And then we find out in the chapter, early chapter 8, the great persecution come to the church of Jerusalem. They cannot just enjoy their fellowship anymore, and God have forced them to go out. Like today, many Christians just like to hang out together, and they don't have any friend which is a sinner, but Jesus come become sinner's friend. So they are forced by God, say no more, you have to come out from this fellowship. Sometimes God will push us if you don't want to obey. You know, sometimes my past is ordained by God. I know my freedom. I will give up everything to Him. You know, I got my personal revival in 1991. My life completely turned around. And after that first half years, I stay every night in my closet, have a meeting with encounter with living Jesus. He taught me many, many things and revealed Himself to me. I have an encounter like a Saul become Paul. Hallelujah. The living Christ appeared to him and show him who he is and tell him what to do. And I stay there for half years, know where I want to go, because it's the most glorious place I can find is in my closet. When this great king, as a king of kings, Lord of lords, come to your house and be with you for the whole night long. By one day, God talked to me, begin to reveal to me, some you cannot stay here any long. You have to go out and preach the gospel. People are dying. People are waiting for your message. So then I begin to travel. I begin to go all over the place and to fulfill what God called me to do. So the same thing, persecution come to Jerusalem. They cannot hang out together. They scatter around and they go to the Samaria, they go to the Judea, and they just, wherever they go in the Bible say, they preach this gospel. They preach this word. Hallelujah. Right now happened in China. We have great persecution by our young evangelists. We have thousands of them, most of them under 30 years old. Wherever they go, they give out everything. Wherever they go, they only preach one thing. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes they don't know how to preach. They go to the people. He just wait for the people. Hallelujah. I say, God love you. I love you. And they don't know how to preach. Just weep. I'm weeping and weeping and weeping. And people will begin to weep with them and give them life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To know someone care for them, love them so much and in tears. Hallelujah. So when you see this happen in China now, everywhere, those young evangelists bring this glorious gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, of His kingdom to all over wherever they go. Hallelujah. I met so many young evangelists who don't have a home. Their home has already been broken by the police. They try to arrest them wherever they go. They always preach the gospel where they go and build up the churches. Hallelujah. So we can see here, then come another man. His name is Philip. He's an evangelist, like those young evangelists we have in China. So he cannot stay in his hometown. He has to go. But one thing is very interesting when I look at this passage. He said all the apostles, the great apostles, stay in the church of Jerusalem. The real person has been scattered all over the place are those normal Christians with normal disciples. It's not those great apostles bring those gospel messages to all over the place. Instead, those apostles stay in the church of Jerusalem. But God calls those normal people, those normal believers, those disciples of Jesus Christ, fulfill their job to go out and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. We don't like today in the church, so many people just stay in there and sit down there and do nothing for Christ. In China, our church, our moving church, everybody is moving. Everybody is preaching the gospel with sign and wonder following. No one stay there and do nothing. Hallelujah. Because we believe we have a glorious gospel. We cannot hold it to ourselves. We will go to the highest mountain and shout from the mountaintop. Hallelujah. Not just a great man of God, not just a great apostles, but those young evangelists, that's normal Christian. Some of them is housewife. Just begin to share with their neighborhood, share with a relative, just invite them to come and just talk the simple gospel. What I heard, what I experienced, what I thought. Hallelujah. Not a big sermon, not a big theology, just a simple gospel, what God did in my life. Hallelujah. That's a testimony, powerful testimony. Hallelujah. And God created great miracles, many raising from the dead, many creating miracle happens. Hallelujah. God confirmed with sign and wonder. So you can see, just no more Christian today, our job as a minister, just to equip the saints, allow them to do the work. Hallelujah. And those, at that time, you see the church of Jerusalem begin to happen to them. Those are normal Christians go out to Judea, go out to the Samaria, fulfill the God speak about in the Acts 1a. Hallelujah. Beginning from Jerusalem, then to the Judea, Samaria, to the all of the world. Hallelujah. And God began to bring His plan to come. One of them is called Philip. And Philip go there, and one thing interesting, he go to one of the town of the Samaria. He preached one thing. In the Bible say he preached about this Christ. That's our message. Our message always Jesus Christ as the center. Sometimes I heard so many ministers talking, preaching about all kinds of things, but not Christ. Hallelujah. We have nothing to preach about, we have nothing to talk about, but Christ. Hallelujah. The living one, that with all power, with all authority, is nothing else that matters, but only Christ in our heart. Hallelujah. And His cross is a powerful message you can preach. Hallelujah. So you find out Philip go out and just preach one simple thing. Only Christ is everything, is all in all. Hallelujah. When we preach the center of the message, we preach about this Jesus, this Christ, and God will confirm with sign and wonder and miracles. Hallelujah. And people in the Bible say, people heard from Philip, people saw the miracles, and people paid great close attention to him. So I say, you not just preach the gospel, you're going to prove it. You're going to show it. Because when you preach the gospel, God will show it with sign and wonder, and people will get attention. And not just attention, the Bible says close attention. Hallelujah. Because that brings the reality of Jesus Christ, this living God, to their face. They cannot hide it. It's not kind of the great theory, it's not a great knowledge for you know about Christ, but this living God manifests in a personal way. Hallelujah. First time I preached in Taiwan prison. I said, God is here. God going to perform miracles right before your eyes that you know you cannot deny this gospel is real. And there's a criminals, they don't know Christ, they want to test this young preacher. They go out and bringing me a cripple, and bring it to the meeting place where I first saw this cripple. I say, in the name of Jesus, he's gonna begin to walk. I haven't prayed for him, and everybody's shocked. I can proclaim this kind of promise. Even I shock myself. Because that's my first meeting and first trip. If God didn't do it, I'm completely gone. But suddenly that kind of gift of faith is come to me. I speak to this man and say, you're gonna begin to walk. And after I pray for him, he fall on the power. He raised up, he's not just walking, he's running around on the Jehovah's. Hallelujah, in the meeting praise. And this shake the whole prison. Hallelujah. There's about 70 people there, and they all shouting, give glory to God. Wow. I never see that happen in church, man. I see, but right from my eyes, those people don't know Jesus, and shouting, and give the glory to God, and say, God is real in our midst. I don't have children, they find out themselves. Yeah. Hallelujah. And immediately I give the altar call, almost all of them give life to Jesus Christ, only 4 or 5 sitting there. You see, when like Philip, when you go, you preach Christ, you perform miracles, let people not just hear your word, but saw what happened, and they receive, they pay attention to the word. Philip want to preach, and they will obey. They just not pay attention. In Chinese translation, say they obey the word that Philip's preach about. They receive the Christ, and also many demons come out from the people. Hallelujah. People sometimes don't like my meeting, so noisy. All kinds of things happen. Hallelujah. One thing is demon begin to manifest and come out from people. I say, there's nothing too strange about when Jesus minister, when Jesus come to town, there always a demon come out from people's life. Hallelujah. I like to see those demons manifest because I know that's the time they have to leave. Hallelujah. So wherever we go, and demons trembling. Hallelujah. When you come to town, I say I'm the one stir up the people. Sometimes I introduce myself. I'm the one cast the fire on the ground. Hallelujah. People don't like the people which cast the fire. Hallelujah. But I that's my job. Hallelujah. Wherever I go, I bring the revival fire. I turn the place upside down. Hallelujah. And know our God is alive. Our God's still doing the miracle. Our God still be God. Hallelujah. It's nothing you can think about. It's nothing you can analyze. But he just be God. He want to do whatever he like to do. Hallelujah. 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 That's my God. That's my Savior. Hallelujah. And in this passage also say, when he do this mighty miracles, a lot of healing happen, or all kind of miracle happen, people follow him, and all the demons begin to run out the people, and great joy come to the city. Hallelujah. That should be a sign of our ministry. Wherever we go, the joy of the Lord be our strength. Not just in our believer, but non-believer can sense the heaven, the kingdom of God is manifest in the midst. Hallelujah. When I go to a prison, after I preach 1 hour, I ask those criminals, look at each other, they find out everybody is smiling face. Hallelujah. They don't know what happened. I say, no, do you know why? Because God showed up. Hallelujah. He's a God of joy. Hallelujah. He can turn the prison door to become like heaven. Hallelujah. That's a miracle. That's a miracle can turn those criminals to their joyfulness. Hallelujah. God can do that. Great joy come to the city. Wherever I travel in China, from town to town, from village to village, not just a sick get healed, but I find out great joy come to the people. Hallelujah. Sometimes shake the whole village. The whole village can hear the holy laughter around the air. Hallelujah. Even the children didn't know Jesus, begin to laugh with us. Hallelujah. Whole village, the children begin to laugh wherever we go. Hallelujah. A great joy come to town. Hallelujah. My radio broadcast name is Revival Song. Revival Song. That's the character of my meetings. I don't like to be quiet. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit pour down, that's a noisy. Hallelujah. You not just can see it like a fire, like a wind, but you can saw it. Hallelujah. Right before your eyes. You can hear people begin to speak in tongues, give glory to God. That's a great noisy. Hallelujah. People begin to laugh uncontrollably. Hallelujah. Because of such great joy that come to them. Hallelujah. So always have noise. That's the character of my meetings. Sometimes miles away can hear the noise of my meetings. Hallelujah. That's a revival song in the air. there. Hallelujah. Oh, all over China, people begin to hear this sound of a revival, like in the Pentecostal. Suddenly, God moved into the house. Suddenly, this mighty God showed up with great power, and there's a noise can be heard. That's a message himself. And God said, I'm exist, I'm show up to do my own business. Hallelujah. To change life, to turn the life around. Hallelujah. So great joy come to town. And but there's a one man, his name is Simon. This is Simon, he's a sorcerer. And one thing, he's a practicing witchcraft. He has some kind of magic. He has some kind of great power. And even at that time, people give him the name. It's great power. But I say that's a false one. Hallelujah. At that time, people are blind their eyes. They see the fake one. And then when Philip comes, he show up the real things and shove the enemy's mouth. Hallelujah. They didn't know what the real great power is. It's not a man called Simon. It's one called Jehovah. Hallelujah. They didn't know who is in control. I sometimes say people are afraid the power of the Holy Spirit. I say nothing to afraid about. Hallelujah. You know, you need to know the true power, and then all the fake one be revealed, and truth come. All the false have to fall. All the deception have to go, because the real ones show up. Hallelujah. You know, wherever you go preach the gospel, you know, there's a reality come. There's a great encounter with the darkness. Hallelujah. I like to talk about testimony. One time I go to Shanghai. I have the same kind of encounter, because the master of a Qigong, you know, a lot of people practice the witchcraft, practice Qigong, and they didn't know what's the darkness behind that. And this man come from Shanghai, he's a master in Qigong, and he come to me, I bring him to Christ. One time I pray for him on his birthday, I say, Jesus is going to give you best birthday gift, is himself. You're gonna know this Jesus is gonna come to your life. At that time, his birthday, when I pray, he cannot stand up. He just fall on the power. The huge power come from heaven and push him down to the ground. He cannot get up. And then after that, I say, what happened to you? I say, I don't know. I practiced Qigong since I'm very young age. I try to practice it so hard, but only small energy come up. But suddenly you pray, you didn't do anything, just pray in the name of Jesus. I cannot stand at all. Just a huge power come from above. I don't know what happened. I just fall on the ground. I cannot do anything. I say, this God is much bigger than I imagined. Hallelujah. He faced the reality of real power. Hallelujah. And then what happened? I go to Shanghai, and at that time I already preach in one area we call Wenzhou. I preach there for 3 days, non-stop. I'm totally exhausted. I'm weak in my body, and I lost my voice because of preaching. And then they arrange a house meeting in Shanghai for me. And what happened, interesting, is this man just received Christ. He didn't know much about Christ. You know, he just had that experience. So he spread the news that this man of God can heal the people. So people scatter around this news, and one of the group is a descendant of mighty man of God called Jiang Song. If you know, in 1930s, bring great revival to China, and his descendants never have experienced the baptism of Holy Spirit. So they want to come to my meeting. Also, one of the sister have a cancer in the last stage. So they carry her out from the hospital room and come to this house meeting. That's a half the people. But the other half is very interesting. This convert, this new convert, which originally is a master of Qigong, bring all his friend, those masters in Shanghai, and practice Qigong, and bring them to this meeting and see what I have. Yeah. Okay, so we have a half the Christian, and half is Qigong master. At that time, it's kind of scary, because I don't, you know, I'm total weak. I don't have much energy. But, you know, and also they say I can heal. I cannot heal anyone. You know, so I go to the meeting. I just very candid. I say, if you come to see me to heal anyone, you're going to disappointment. But I have a great news for you. Hallelujah. Even though I cannot heal anyone, but Jesus came. Hallelujah. Also, I don't have to practice, use my own strength. Hallelujah. And today is a better example, because you see my weakness. I lost my voice. Only thing I can do is pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I share my testimony, and then, you know, in the total weakness of my voice, I just say one simple word. I say, Jesus, please come to here. Jesus, please come to here. And suddenly, Well, like suddenly, hallelujah. And suddenly, I didn't shout, just a simple word, come Jesus. And suddenly the whole room, like a mighty wind, like a tornado, it just circulated in the whole room. Hallelujah. There's about 20 people, you can feel such a power, like a wind, mighty wind, just circulate around the house. Hallelujah. And now those Christians begin to shout, begin to speak in tongues, fall on the floor, the cancer patient is on the floor, be touched by God, his healing power. You know, this side, the Christian, everybody filled with the Holy Spirit, have a great time, but look at the other side. Woo! Hallelujah. I look at the other side, total silence. Hallelujah. Everybody sit on there, see and do like this and don't know what to do. Hallelujah. In total shockness and don't know this power. And so I asked this new convert after meeting, I said, what those your master of Qigong they feel about? I want to find out the Qigong master, can they feel this power we feel? And they say they can feel it. But they just don't know where that come from. And they get scared. They get fear of this power. They try to run such anointing there. They cannot hold it. They want to run out of the house fast as they can. Hallelujah. And they face the reality. See, we have to bring the reality to the people. Especially when you preach gospel, you must have a proof of this gospel power. And the people in the witchcraft, people have in the sorcery, they know this God Almighty is real. I'm never afraid of encounter. I like Elijah. I want to bring the fire come down from heaven. And know those false prophets of Baal will know who's the Jehovah. Hallelujah. Who's the real God. Hallelujah. So it's so interesting to seek God to prove yourself. Hallelujah. And you don't have to prove yourself. God will confront with sign and wonder. So because of this miracle, because the miracle that Simon become the believer, he also get baptized in the water. And many, many people give their life to Christian. They believe that this is good news of kingdom. And they get baptized, they gather together and see so many signs and wonders. And later in the Jerusalem, the apostles heard about this news. What God do the mighty things in Samaria? And one thing is interesting here, why the apostle in Jerusalem do one thing, they send two apostles, Peter and John, go to the Samaria, to go to this big town, God do the great work, and to do what? One thing, to lay him on those new believers, to give them the Holy Ghost. And they receive the Holy Ghost. At that time, they only baptized in the name of Jesus, but haven't received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So not just have an evangelist to go to preach the gospel, the good news, but it's followed up by the apostles' ministry. And they have to lay hands on those new believers, receive the Holy Ghost, and then church can be built up. Today, sometimes for evangelists, we are sometimes brokenhearted because we bring so many people to the kingdom, but there's no one to follow up, no one to nurture. But one thing is important, to baptize them in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's because everything is done by the Holy Ghost. You want to build up the church, everyone have to fill with the Holy Ghost. Everyone have to receive the Holy Ghost. So in China, actually, I didn't really preach the gospel myself. Because for me, too dangerous to do it publicly. But we have thousands of young evangelists doing the work I cannot do. And my job, usually I just go to train the leaders. But not just training, not just preaching or teaching. But one thing important is to whatever Peter and John here doing is pray for them, is lay hands on them to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because it's not the structure, it's not the theory that can build up the church. It's God himself moving his church, moving every member of his body to build up this glory body of Jesus Christ. That's why important everyone in the church should receive the Holy Ghost. Especially in the New Testament church, like Antioch is a New Testament church. It's everyone need to receive the Holy Ghost and serve God by the anointing of God. In Old Testament, if you don't have anointing oil on you, you cannot go into the sanctuary, you cannot go into the holy place to serve God. You're stressed to death when you do that. But today, how many church allow non-believers to serve God? And all those people move in the flesh and do their own way in the church. Even in the Old Testament, they were stressed to death. But today you won't see people get a leprosy, get a death immediately, but tell you the one important thing. They won't die in the outside, they will die inside. They call spiritual death. A lot of churches don't know the consequences that important of that theory. So that's why I go to a church, and wherever I go, I preach for everyone to receive the Holy Ghost. Not just for a leader, not just for the elders, but even a small child need the Holy Ghost, need the anointing of God. When God moves in the house, everybody changes. Hallelujah. In China, we were 5 years old, begin to preach on the tabletop. Hallelujah. Fire preachers. Hallelujah. Pentecostal preachers. Hallelujah. Two years ago, I met him. He only 7 years old. Hallelujah. Preached David fighting Goliath. Hallelujah. Now he's probably 9 years old. I haven't seen him for 2 years. It's not by mind, not by power, by the Spirit of God. Move in the young kid, 5 years old, can preach the gospel as a fire come out his mouth. And confirm with sign and wonder. It's only God can do that. See. So we need the Holy Ghost. That's a Peter and John's ministry. Just follow the Philip, his evangelist, and build up the church by impart the anointing, by impart the gifting, by impart the Holy Ghost. And the whole church begin to build up. And this Simon, he saw something. He saw the great anointing on these two apostles. But his heart is not right. He wants to have, can I use money to buy this gift of God? So I can lay hand on people, they will receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter, by the power of God, rebuked the Simon and said, you have no part in this ministry because your heart is not right. So even you are converted, but you have to build up the principle, the knowledge about this anointing. There's nothing to fooling around. And you must know what's a great responsibility when you receive that Holy Ghost. And you must take responsibility and not just fooling around and put yourself into a dangerous situation. In China right now, we have great revival, but I tell you, the judgment of God is so real. And you get fear of it. Not to the Gentiles only. Of course, the Gentiles try to persecute the Christian and face God's judgment immediately, but also in the church itself. So sometimes we serve God with fear and trembling in China. Something we can do here is no problem, things no problem outside. But in China, you can see the immediate judgment come from the Lord. Because no one can mess around when He show up. He's a holy God and He's a judge God. So we serve Him with such a great trembling. When someone wants to do that, and you will face God's judgment on your life. And that's the background what this is beginning to move. And then those people has been scattered, come to another place. They, not just in Judea, in Samaria, and then they came to one place. It's a Gentile place. It's called Antioch. Wherever they preach all of the Judea and Samaria. Now they preach to the Gentile place. And this place they call is Antioch. So we go to the chapter 11. In the Acts chapter 11, in the verse 19, they are mentioned those people after the persecution, the crucifixion of Stephen, and those disciples go to one place and end up in the Antioch. In the India, they preach to the Jewish, but most of them are Greek. So they begin to share this good news of kingdom of God to those Greek, those Gentiles. And see what God is doing there is God begin to confirm with a sign and wonder, begin to manifest His presence. So many people, a great multitude has come to the Lord. In our Chinese translation, it's talk about God with them. So many multiple people come to the Lord. By what this morning I read the English translation, it's not just a presence of God, it's talking about hand of God's wisdom. It's the mighty hand of God with them for what? For signs and wonders. So you see the great multitude come to the Lord in the Antioch, this place. It's a special place. God have a special grace in that place. The same kind of news come back to the Jerusalem church. So once again, they send a person called Barnabas. And Barnabas is a prophet. It comes to strengthen the new church, strengthen the new convert. So Barnabas come to the Antioch and sent by the church of Jerusalem. And the Wednesday here, he saw the grace of God in that place. He saw the evidence of God's grace. When God began to bring the new mood, when God began to bring the people to the kingdom of God, to the house of God. There's a great grace. You can see that it's a evidence when God begin to do something. You just follow His step. Hallelujah. We need the grace of God. Amen. We are not trying to do our own work. We just like a servant, watch the master hand and see what he's doing in our church, in our midst. Hallelujah. I always do that. Only thing I can do is watch. Especially in China. I say I'm just a small child. Follow my big father. Hallelujah. I just follow him and watch. Sometimes I have nothing to do. Just watch. Especially after I preach. Sometimes God's coming and knock everybody down, and then, you know, and God begin to move. It's not like in here, people fall down and get back immediately. In there, when people fall under the power of God, ours cannot get back. Sometimes we have to carry people out because there's no room for so many people for there. We carry them out all over the place. Sometimes they follow me out in the village, in the farmer's side. I just lay him on there and pray for them. People fall on the left and right on the country road. Publicly. Hallelujah. Huh. So you see God come and do the wonderful things, not inside the church, but in the public place also. And I just sit there and watch what God's moving. You know, sometimes this young evangelist watch me, you know, because I drink the Chinese tea and sit on the chair, just watch for hours. They say, your ministry is so simple and so relaxed. I say, what can I do more? Because nothing I can do. It's all his work. He come into his church, take control. I have no control. I just watch what my father's doing. I enjoy every bit of it. Hallelujah. But it's nothing I can do. I just drink my tea. I just enjoy what God's bless people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's a ministry. That's easy. Just let God do his job. Just invite his presence to come. And especially when his hand is manifest, there's mighty power in his hand. When they talk about Jesus, they say, all in all is in your hands. Everything is in God's hands. There's nothing impossible for him to do. And here they mention this Barnabas. He's a good man. He's a great man. And he's full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's a man, have a great face. Hallelujah. Such a man is God looking for. He's a great man. He's a good man. He's always bringing the presence of God, bringing the love of God. But not just that, he's full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. A man full of the power, full of the energy, and full of life. Hallelujah. I don't like dead churches. Only dead church is no life, there's no voice, no noise, and there's no voice at all. Because they are dead. But if you're alive, people will see it, people will hear it, because there's so much life in you. I go to church, I want to see where's the life in the church. Because if you have Christ in you, He's moving, He's showing His personality through you. Hallelujah. And this Barnabas, he's a man full of the Holy Ghost. He's a great face. Hallelujah. He can trust God to do the impossible. So this Barnabas bring another great blessing of God to the church of Antioch. That's a newborn church, and more young believer, the new convert come to the church. But the Barnabas find out one thing, this is not enough. We need to bring another gift of God come to here. Because right before that, there's one man called Saul. I talk about that seed. God has planned in the Stephen's case. God prepared that seed. God prepared a secret weapon. Hallelujah. To shock the enemy. To put the enemy to shame. His name is Saul. Hallelujah. And this Saul has encountered with the living Christ. Has been changed. By changing so dramatically. And when they bring him to the church of Jerusalem, no one dared to receive him. They're scared because he persecuted Christians, but now preach the Christ wherever he go, and too shocked to them. So the disciples in Jerusalem don't dare to receive him. But only one man, this man called Barnabas, received Saul and introduced him to the rest disciples. But later on, because of persecution and Saul hiding in the place in the Tyrus and for 3 years, God gave him the great revelation, taught by God himself. And this man prepared by God in the wilderness and have an encounter, have a knowledge of this living God. And that's why Paul said, I know who I'm preaching about. Hallelujah. It's not by man's theory, but by the encounter and revelation from this living Christ. And Barnabas knows this man has been prayed by God, has been seasoning, has been equipping, and now it's time for him to come out.